They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again this week, we are with Tim Mahoney, who is the director and producer of Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. And it is a wonderful feature-length documentary film, and it's one that took him 12 years to build. And one other thing that I noticed about Tim is that he is doing this and encouraging people to question what they have been told about culture, science, history, and religion. And that's really the question that sort of comes out with this film. Tim, that's a pretty big deal that you're telling people or encouraging people to question these things.
Well, I think that not everything that we have learned about necessarily, good or bad. I think it's good to have ability to sort of challenge things. I don't know if a lot of people today right now have been testing things to basically say, are they true?
Mm.
You know, because you're looking for truth. Ultimately, I think in the end of the film, what I say, isn't that what science and faith are looking for, is the truth?
Mm.
And a lot of people have been given information by someone else, and they haven't really sorted it out for themselves. And when, the 12 years was a process of me sorting it out for myself to figure out, well, where is this? I mean, and I think it made me a much stronger person because of that.
Yeah.
And the name of our film company is called Thinking Man Films. And I think that's a very important thing, is for people to not shut their brain off.
It's quite amazing, really, because some of the people that would call themselves free thinkers and the society of free thinkers in our culture today are basically telling people to reject any of this thinking that you're telling them to consider, to, look at the other side. You've got to reject anything that would even sniff that there is a possibility of supernatural involved.
Yeah, and I mean, we haven't even gotten into that side of it. I mean, we'll start looking more at that. But there are so many important questions to basically, of origin, questions of origin, questions of meaning, a question of purpose, questions of history, how did we get here, and questions of where are we going, that I think a lot of people, those are in their DNA. And but yet, the way the culture is right now, you sort of shut all that off, and you just sort of live for the day, and what are you going to eat, or what are you going to watch? It's more of an entertainment culture.
Right. Well, you were dealing with time a lot. You were dealing with the subject of time. And let me tell you, in that way, at Answers in Genesis, we kind of feel a little bit of sympathy and empathy with you, because we're consistently dealing with time as well, and wanting people to consider the biblical timeline compared to humanistic ideas of timelines. And that's exactly what you're doing. We're doing that in relation to creation and the origin of the world, but you have done that in respect of the Exodus. And in that respect, you came across people that were committed to the Egyptian chronology and as the reason as to why they were really rejecting the historical accuracy of the Bible in the narrative of the Exodus. What can you comment about that production of skepticism that you saw in these scholars?
What I think that's interesting, and what we have to remember, is that all the scholars that I met, and there's scholars that I've met that weren't on the film too, because they didn't make the, we didn't put them in, we just had too much information. But all of them, for the most part, were taught something. And they were taught that this is how history has laid out, and that pretty much the cement had basically, in their minds, had set. And so they had also been taught that if the Bible story happened, it happened around the time of Ramesses. So those types of things had been cemented into their mindset. And any kind of idea foreign to that was very difficult for them to take in. And they had also been taught that since there was no evidence for it, that these stories just were really based upon folklore or myths or some germs of truth that might have come out that were gathered together, that were assembled, you know, hundreds of years later, you know, 600, 700, 800 years or later, maybe 1,000 years, so that they were just sort of collected together. And that's their understanding. And they were taught this, in other words, and that when they looked at the time for what they thought was to be the time of the Bible, they found no evidence for it. And they then were affirmed in their understanding, you see, that it was a myth.
So really they were coming to the evidence with a presupposed timeline, in a sense?
Yes, absolutely. I think that is the norm now, is that these ideas, and so what we wanted to do, these ideas have become the main idea. And what happened then was you say, oh, okay, wait a minute, where did this idea start from? What was the ingredients that helped to shape this idea, and are they valid? And so when you start to go back and look at this, because this is a difficult question, that's basically when you start to realize that some of these ideas, and David Rohl pointed this out, the whole idea of chronology, he said that Champollion, have you heard that name? He just deciphered the Rosetta Stone.
Right.
And we went to the very wall where he came to.
Yeah.
And he identified a character on the wall that he thought was the same as the story in the Bible. And the Bible talks about Shishak, and the wall talked about Shoshank. And these two characters, he thought maybe there was a connection between them, because it looked as if Pharaoh went to Israel, to this area. But they're actually two different stories. And it was later shown that they weren't connected, and he had misinterpreted the wall. But guess what? For the most part, Egyptology sort of built itself around that connection, and that's what David Rohl, who was an agnostic, said. The Bible was used to date Egyptian chronology, and then from this point on, Egyptian chronology has been used to disprove the Bible.
Wow, yeah, it is quite amazing, and that David Rohl saw that. He then came back and he's actually quite serious about the chronology of events that are in Scripture with what he finds as the evidence in the field, right?
Right. He's had a very successful TV series talking about this, and so he has seen other characters in the Bible, from Saul and David and Jonathan. As well as Joseph, and he sees these things, but he didn't start looking at them. He just started to recognize them. What he started to really he looked at this one period in Egyptians' history that he was going to study, and said, "Hey, these things don't add up. There's a problem here." And he started to challenge that. And the challenge of challenging anything is that a lot of people have already poured the cement, and it's, you know, it would change a lot. It would make a number of things, it's a complete change of mindset, and a lot of books, as I said one time, would have to be rewritten.
Yes.
A lot of people don't want to do that.
Yeah, and really, at the end of the day, you're dealing with a human pride issue as well.
Well, yes. I mean, if you've been teaching one thing for the last 30 years, it's going to be hard for you to change that mindset.
Yeah, particularly as your area of expertise, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if we do, then we start with the biblical text, we start with the biblical chronology, and we put it on the timeline. Particularly, I think it's a wonderful example that you have in that 400 years before Solomon was building the temple, you've got those wonderful biblical timeline indicators, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And so if we do that, you do find the evidence corroborating with those stages, those six stages or seven stages that you went through. Can you just tell me some of the pieces of evidence, some of your favourite ones that really helped you to see those, you know, corroborating with those stages?
Well, one of the things that when I went to Manfred Bitek, who's he's a world-renowned Egyptologist, and he was in the Ramesses, he was digging in the Goshen area, modern-day called Tel El Daba, and he was uncovering this ancient city. And what they do is they rent a field, you know, and they've been working their way through this area, and they'll dig down into the field, and they'll uncover, and they went through, they found what was, for example, a palace. And this was a very, very unique palace because it was not the palace of an Egyptian. It was the palace of a Semitic person. And behind the palace, and even prior to this, they found something much older. They found a house that was a Syrian-style house. And so they started to look at it. This is the first time they'd seen this, and this was the same time when these Semitic people were invited into this area. And so what we're starting to look at, and what David Rohl was saying, was this appears to be potentially the type of home that Jacob would have built for himself if he resided in Egypt. And according to the custom, I believe that the eldest, and Joseph later on was given that position, would destroy that house and build on top of that area his own home. And we see this Semitic palace that was built, and behind it then were these graves. And there were 12 major graves. There were multiple graves there, but there were 12 major graves, what David Rohl would say. And behind, in one of those graves, was a pyramid tomb. And it had in it a colossal statue, which is probably about 14 feet tall.
It is massive, yeah.
And this is what the film shows, this seated ruler, and he had a boomerang, a staff of authority. And as the Bible said, Joseph was made second in command over all of Israel. So what he said, what Rohl said was, this is, and everyone has said this, other scholars that I went to talk with, this is unprecedented, that here we have this Semitic-type ruler in the land, in the time when they were allowed to be a part of this area. The Egyptians allowed them to come in, and we have this ruler who is given this pyramid tomb, which only pharaohs and queens were given.
And it's clearly, there's a number of reasons that they give as this why this clearly isn't a statue of an Egyptian.
Right, because of the color of his, well, his hair was red, and his face was painted the same color as they paint Semitic-type people. And what was fascinating is that when they opened the tomb up, they found out that the bones were missing.
Yeah.
And grave robbers don't take bones. But Joseph had commanded his family, said he knew the prophecy of Abraham, that they would return to the land. And he said, when you return, take my bones with me. And the bones in this tomb were missing.
Yeah, I thought that was extraordinary. Actually, when I was reading, watching the film, both times I thought to myself, and I said this to my wife after the second one, I said, you know, one of my favorite tourist destinations that's got to go on my list now, it's Avaris. I really want to go and have a look at this place. And so, yeah, that is just one of many, and that's one of one stage. But you found evidence for slavery. You found evidence for young people being killed in mass, and that's what we have at the time of Moses being saved.
Right. So that's what the film does, is it looks, and what you're suggesting or what you're alluding to is that there are multiple patterns of evidence in each category of arrival, of multiplication, of enslavement. We show many pieces of evidence that fit the right sequence, but it's all earlier in time, and that's what the film brings out. And everyone has saying, yeah, that's like the story of the Exodus, but it's too early, so it can't be a part of that.
Yep.
Going back to the question of chronology. So the film unravels that. And I think what it's been helpful for people is that it helps them to basically go, wait a minute, there is evidence for the story of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And just because people won't interpret it, I think it helps people of faith to go, you know what, this story did happen. And there are patterns of evidence that support it.
And you can trust the biblical timeline.
Yes, that's what I believe this film is reinforcing.
Well, thank you very much, Tim Mahoney, and thank you for everything that you've done. Please, folks, get that DVD series and the book Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. It is wonderful. This is brilliant work. I haven't seen anything like it before, and this is a great contribution to the Christian church. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.